Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. I'm so glad you joined us here today. This is my second introduction because, you know, and usually I say I don't edit a lot, but I don't. And forgive me, I think my allergies are acting up, so I'm a little raspy today. But I did edit that last one because I went on a big tangent about who we are, what we do. Look, I'll just say this, okay? If you're listening to the show and you're a recent listener, you haven't listened very much. We're simply a Bible study. We're not affiliated with any kind of church or bigger organization whatsoever. We are an independent Bible study, obviously using the King James Version of the Bible. And I, as your teacher, believe the Bible is true word for word. I'm a literalist or a fundamentalist. I believe the Bible's true cover to cover. So that's my perspective. Amen. And that's all. Again, I got on my soapbox on that last one and I had to stop after about 3 or 4 minutes and say, okay, let's delete this. But I believe that's true. That's worth not deleting, just to say, I believe it's true. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I believe it's true. And I have t-shirts that I'll print up with scripture on it. And I wear that around as a visual example. I'm a big guy. So that's a big shirt, amen. A lot of real estate on this body, okay? Biblical real estate to show it off, a billboard. And so, you know, people say, why, you know, why? Is that your favorite verse, you know, or some psalm or something? I say, no, it's not necessarily my favorite one. I just like this one, you know. And again, I believe it's true. You know, I believe it's true. It's so hopefully you do too. And I thank you. You know, regardless of the background that you're coming from, I see our demographics online or analytics of where people listen from, and they listen from all over the place. And so presumably there's different denominations that are listening, different cultures and so forth. So I just thank you so much for listening. I'll say this too, you know, when I do research for the program, you better believe I'm looking at research from many different perspectives. You know, like if I'm researching, for example, this morning I was researching when the when the third temple will be built by the Jewish people, what biblical book will they use as a reference point? Well, I'd be crazy not to look at what the rabbis said about that and what the modern day Orthodox Jewish people say about that, because they're the ones that are going to be doing that. And so we understand, you know, that in the days of the tribulation period, there's animal sacrifice again, there's temple worship. So that's going to happen biblically from a Christian New Testament perspective. And yet the people doing it will be God's chosen people, the Jewish people. And so as a Gentile, I should look at that resource. And so, you best believe it. So I just thank everybody for listening here today. I don't know why I'm going on this tangent again, but I promise you I'm going to stop now. Here we are in the Old Testament. We are in Genesis 8, and we're doing really well here. We're in Genesis 8. We're on verse 13, and I'm just going to see how far we can go here, but we're going to wrap up Genesis 8 pretty soon here. And so Genesis 8, verse 13, we're going to read this here. And it came to pass, in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. So verse 13 tells us a few things. It tells us a timeline, okay? And so we can see the timeline here, and we understand that the initial reference point, or the 0 day mark, is when the fountains of the great deep broke apart and the windows of heaven were opened. And that's Genesis 7:11, okay? And it tells us it happened on the 17th day of the second month, okay? Noah had gone into the ark 7 days prior to this, and this is when it happened. And I'm using this biblical timeline, biblical overview of the flood timeline from Answers in Genesis as my reference here to help. It's like a chart, and I'm a visual person, so chart helps a lot. When I read scripture, oftentimes I'm like, someone needs to chart this out, and usually someone has, praise God. And if not, maybe that can be you. But yeah, I mean, all the dimensions of the temple and everything, I really appreciate charts and spreadsheets. So we have the 0 day reference point. We have 40 days and 40 nights. Excuse me. And the rain fell 40 days and covered the earth, right? And the highest place was 20 feet above the peaks of the mountains, as we understand that. So very, very high up, 40 days and 40 nights of rain. Then we have 150 days when the water rises to the highest level. Okay, so if you're looking at this from the point of the whole exercise takes about a year, about 370 days, we're at about 150 days here when the water rises to the highest point. Okay, and it's sitting there. So it's not quite, but almost halfway, right? Then the tops of the mountain become visible. The water starts to recede. That's about 74 days in. Then we have 40 days before Noah sends out the raven. Think of that 40 day of a time of testing, of trial. Think about how Noah's kind of getting the impression, hey, maybe the water's sinking and he's so tempted, but he's waiting on God. And he has that 40 day period. Then he sends out the raven. Okay. And that gets us to 264 days in, which is almost 100 days left until the whole deal is done. And then you have these three sevens, you know, 777, that's a good series of numbers there. The dove was sent out 7 days after the raven. It had no resting place. Seven more days, the dove again goes out. That's from Genesis 8, 10 through 11. And this is when it returns to the olive branch in its beak. And then seven more days, and Noah sent out the dove again, and it did not return. So now you have this point where we are right here, Genesis 8, 13. And this, if you're curious, gets us up to 314 days of Noah and his family and the animals being on that ark, okay, with the floods, right? They actually entered the ark 7 days prior, so that'd be 321 days. But you get the idea. This is wrapping up quickly. So what we'll do is we'll take a break, and when we come back from this break, we're going to look at what this means that the earth is now dry for Noah. So stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, here we are back from the break. To give you an idea, this point here of where Genesis 8:13 of the 601st year of Noah's life, this point here is right about the end of their time on the ark, okay? And we see that they're about to get off, and we see that Noah removes this covering, so this top part. And it's interesting because I would think of that as like, have you ever had a convertible before? I always wanted one. This is before I became incredibly allergic to the outdoors, but I always wanted one. I as a young 20-something, got a little Saab convertible. Bought it online, sight unseen. Guess what? Had a few issues with it. Oh, well, but I was young and even... less car savvy than I am now. I'm not a car expert by any means, but that convertible, you would just, in that case, it was automatic if I remember, and you just press a button and that little top comes off. And I've ridden in convertibles where you don't press a button. You kind of have to unfold it or something like a Jeep. My old roommate in grad school had a Jeep, and I think he had a hard top, and we would just have to, take that hard top off together if he wanted to take the top off and so forth. This, I'm guessing, was a very sturdy wooden pitched and tarred up cover. I'm thinking this is something that took a lot of time to take off. It's not like your modern day convertible or Jeep or any kind of semi-automatic system. I'm thinking this top was a challenge to take off. And so we see in this timeline, because we keep getting these days in the month, it's from the first month of the first day to the second month of the 27th day. I don't know about you, but when I read this in the scripture, it's hard for me not to just kind of look right past it, right? But here, when you have it in chart format, like Answers in Genesis did, you can look at it and say, wow, that took 29 days. So there was 29 days between the after that 7 day period, the dove didn't come back again. There was 29 days from when Noah had removed the cover of the ark, right? Till when the next step occurs, that the earth was dry, that God commands them to get out and so forth. And so there's a period of time here, whether it took a day, a week, a month, I think he had to work on getting that top ready to go. But we see here that without the top off, Noah had to rely on God to know what was going on because he couldn't see the earth was dry. It says here in Genesis 8:13, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. So that, to me, that tells me that before that, Noah couldn't behold the face of the ground being dry because he's looking ahead. And, you know, think of this, when you're looking ahead and you're on a high peak or a high place, what are you seeing? You're seeing like sky, clouds, you know, stuff far away, you know, hard to tell what's going on below if you don't have that line of sight. And so from what we can tell, he needed to remove this and then look and then be like, whoa, I'm actually on dry ground. And this is a massive vessel. And if you've been in a massive ship before, it's hard to describe, but it's much different than being in like a little boat where you can kind of feel what's underneath you. Yes, the vessel can sway and so forth, but I've been like on a cruise ship one time years ago when I was turning 21. I remember that, which was the new year. It was, I think, 2001. Yeah, so it would be 2000 to 2001. And I mean, you feel it sway and so forth, but you're almost like your body almost adjusts and you're just kind of there. So I believe that him being on the ark, it being as big as it was, being so busy with all of the animals, and surely he had plants and food on there and all of that. I think that he had no idea. He had no idea until that top came off. Then he knew the ground was dry. Okay. But did he jump out then? No, it's so fascinating. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried, and God spake unto Noah. So that's 14 was the second month. And verse 15 is God speaking to Noah, saying, what does God say? Let's see. God says in verse 16 of Genesis 8, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Wow. So look at that. Though he knew it was dry, though he could have just probably leaped out, right? He waited on God and God spoke. Amen. God spoke. And we see there was a 56-day period. And I'm not going to get too crazy with the numbers, but 5 is the number of grace and 6 being the number of man, grace for man. 56, by the way, is my favorite number. Number I wear playing football in high school. And I think I did play it for a year in college. I don't know if they gave my number. Probably not. But I wasn't an all-star. We'll put it that way. Just made it a year. But that is my favorite number, grace for man. And we see here, God lets Noah know it's time to come out of the ark. Noah exercising great patience, doesn't act on his own. And that, I think, is something that we can learn a lot from, because maybe we see dry ground. We see what we think is the next step that God has for us, and we're ready to jump. I don't know about you, but I've been in that position multiple times where I am sure this is what God wants me to do. Okay, God, you put me on this ship. Okay, God, you saw me through all these trials over the last year. Okay, God, now the top is off. Okay, God, now the sun is shining. Okay, God, now the land is dry. Oh, surely I'm just going to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it my way. Is that not how we live life as Christians, as born again believers? We're dependent upon God. We're obedient to God. And then we're tempted. But we see a great lesson here from Noah of exercising patience. Remember, the Bible is almost acting as a summary here, not a play-by-play situation. It's not a play-by-play transcript of every instance and every moment. It is a summary of what happened that Moses is writing by the inspiration of God. And so we see here that Noah, he had faith, and he exercised that faith through obedience, and he didn't get ahead of God. Let us not get ahead of God. As we serve him and live for him, let us be like Noah and be obedient. And then we'll see in the next episode how God rewards Noah for that obedience, rewards all of mankind for the faith that Noah had. It's a wonderful scripture, and we're moving right along. So I thank you so much for listening. And what we'll do in the next episode is we'll go to the next verse there, which I believe is verse 17. Amen. So we'll get to that the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place,